WLSL in St. Leo, Florida, KPRI in Pala, California, and dozens of other community radio stations across the U.S. and abroad. Our theme music was written by Richard Hill and performed by Mikata. This week's program was produced by Susan Bramhall, Richard Hill, Mary Hunt, Anna Manzo, Bob Nixon, Melinda Tuhus, and Jeff Yates. For Between the Lines, I'm Scott Harris.
This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, non-human radio, and here's what's coming up locally.
90.1 KZFR presents in Chico, an evening with Joe Craven and the Sumtimers. It's Friday, November 15th at the Chico Women's Club. Joe Craven and the Sumtimers feature Jonathan Stoyanoff, Bruce McMillan, Barry Eldridge, Hattie Craven, and Joe Craven.
I said I'm running, but I take my time. Friend of the devil is a friend, friend of mine.
Joe Craven and the Sumtimers at the Chico Women's Club, Friday, November 15th.
If I get home before daylight, I just might get some sleep. It's tonight.
No genre left behind is their music motto. They'll be playing songs from their latest CD, The Garcia Songbook.
Once in a while, you get shown the light of the strangest of places if you look at it right.
Don't miss Joe Craven and the Sumtimers Friday, November 15th at the Chico Women's Club. It's a benefit for KZFR, beer by Sierra Nevada. Tickets only $15. Get them in advance at Chico Paper Company, Blazin' J's, KZFR.org, KZFR's office, and brownpapertickets.com. Doors 6:30, show 7:30. This is a seated show. Joe Craven and the Sumtimers, Friday, November 15th at the Women's Club.
All right. Welcome to show 1946, the November 6th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, a roundup of current news on animal issues, focusing on animal rights and veganism. I'm your host, Jeannie Trezino, here every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. Today's show will cover news on a lobbying group that hopes to develop an alternative to federal subsidies on animal agriculture. Another story is one of the oldest dairies in the country is closing its doors, and a former meat processing plant is about to be converted into a large-scale plant-based chicken nugget plant. We'll end with a look at some research on prejudice and violence towards vegans and vegetarians. No, my friends, it is not your imagination. The prejudice and violence is real. We'll end, as always, with the Chico Vegan Calendar of Events. Veg News reports that two nonprofit groups, Agriculture Fairness Alliance and Lobbyists for Good, recently met with members of Congress to propose the At-Risk Farmers Act. The pilot program would grant funds to nonprofits to assist animal farmers who want to transition to sustainable endeavors, such as supplying the plant-based foods market. The voluntary program is intended to help agriculturalists turn their farms into lucrative businesses that do not require exploiting animals or relying on bailouts and subsidies. The Agricultural Fairness Alliance group takes the position that subsidies, bailouts, and taxpayer-funded marketing programs that boost animal agribusinesses are unfair. While larger animal farming operations have the means to shift to new markets on their own, many small to mid-sized farms are often saddled with debt, suffer from thin profit margins, and therefore remain stuck serving the industry. The group was founded by Connie Spence and Laura Montoyne Reese, who come from the world of vegan advocacies and were the founders of the Vegan Justice League. Another founder of this new Agriculture Fairness Alliance group is Renee King Sonnen, who comes from the ranching world and who founded the Rancher Advocacy Program. And she's also known as the Rowdy Girl. She's the she converted her ranch, her cattle ranch, into a sanctuary. And she knows how to talk to ranchers. And if you are a rancher out there and you think you want to get out of the business of raising cattle for slaughter, The Rancher Advocacy Program speaks your language. They are your people. They are the third, fourth, and fifth generation families ranching on their land. Only they're doing it with compassion or switching to another type of business altogether. Speaking of which, after more than a century of milk production, California's oldest dairy is closing. The owner isn't getting out of agriculture altogether, however. He's switching out cows for trees. This is a recent news piece in Veg News magazine. Dino Giacomazzi is a fourth-generation dairy farmer in Hanford in the Central Valley. Having produced milk since 1893, he suspects Giacomazzi Dairy may be the oldest west of the Rockies, or at least it was. In late October, Giacomazzi sold his 2,000-odd cattle off at auction. Giacomazzi says that he decided to begin transitioning from dairy to almonds, or almonds, during the vicious 2013 drought cycle. On a different property, he began to plant 400 acres of almonds, which he estimates are reaching maturity in a few more years. Giacomazzi says the dairy has had a tough time staying afloat, saying it's tough to keep such an old facility running efficiently, and also points to the state's increasing regulations and the tight international milk market that California dairy producers now find themselves in. For decades, milk prices have stagnated, not even keeping up with inflation, while the costs of production and labor have steadily risen. It's the smaller farms that have suffered. Over the past 20 years, nearly a third of the state's dairies have shuttered, while the average herd size has more than doubled. California's just become a very difficult place to be in ag in general, but being in dairy more specifically, said Giacomazzi. Although many farmers blame legislators or environmental groups or vegans or both or all for leaving them high and dry, Giacomazzi blames apathy, saying that the fact is that farmers have shrunk to such an insignificant percentage of the population that it's not necessarily that people are against farmers, it's that they just don't consider farmers at all. Only after his 105-year-old grandmother died last year did Giacomazzi feel it was the right time to finally pull out of the dairy business. He has begun enrolling his employees in almond production courses. And that was a piece, that was actually from the Business Journal, called The State's Oldest Dairy Calling It Quits. And just as an aside, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, visited the Giacomazzi Dairy early last year. And just a few days ago, Perdue was criticized by some in the agricultural industry when he reportedly said in Wisconsin that small farmers have to get big or get out. Well, there's an advocate for you, isn't it? And as in California, large numbers of dairies in Wisconsin and other parts of the country have also called it quits due to low milk pricing. So that was a bit of good news among the vegan community, that a dairy was closing down, and instead of milking cows, they're milking almonds. And in yet another related story, if you don't realize already, these are all signs that our food systems are changing for ill or for good. Our systems are changing, and here is yet another sign of that. In related news, the Seattle, Washington-based food technology startup Rebellious, which previously was known as Seattle Food Tech, and which we have reported on Non-Human Radio before, recently took over a historic building in West Seattle that was previously used as a meat processing facility. Rebellious aims to set up that space as a prototype of a plant-based poultry factory, quote poultry, that can beat the animal agriculture industry on the production level. With its novel technology and efficient, eco-friendly machinery and processes, the startup will match the poultry industry's efficiency without the negative consequences, such as environmental pollution and animal and human labor suffering. Rebellious founder and CEO Christy Lagalle told Veg News that her company sees its new headquarters as a launching pad for a reimagined poultry industry. She said, Rebellious is building a facility that can match big chickens' efficiency without the negative impacts on the animals, the environment, and the humans involved. The company's intention is to build the first of many meat processing plants that are converted into plant-based meat production facilities, where it aims to make plant-based chicken nuggets as quickly and affordably as animal-based products from factory farms. The company recently expanded distribution into the San Francisco Bay Area, serving food at the University of San Francisco and at the corporate cafeteria of a leading startup. And that was news from Veg News at the end of October. The poultry and egg industry derive a large part of their efficiency at the expense of animals and of workers. This plant definitely has the potential to at least take sentient beings out of the equation. Yeah, and a lot of that efficiency for the animals involved is by raising them and slaughtering them at younger ages. So that turkey that you may be contemplating for Thanksgiving is really just a baby. It's not a full-grown turkey. It hasn't even reached a year in age. All right, and where am I? You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. And Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by OM Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. OM Foods serves homemade teas and lemonades, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at iloveomfoods.com and on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling him at 518-0924. All right, let's continue with some animal news, the Animal News Roundup. During a board meeting this week, Alameda County passed a ban on so-called mutton busting. This is a practice where children jump on sheep to race them as the animals desperately try to escape. The practice was common during the county's annual Castro Valley's Rowell Ranch Rodeo. Animal rights groups, In Defense of Animals, and the Coalition for a More Humane Alameda County have worked in the area to ban the cruel sport. While Alameda County banned this particular type of rodeo, other practices that exploit animals for entertainment, such as calf roping, are still permitted. Matthew Hamady from In Defense of Animals told Veg News that the sheep riding ban is an important first step and that the group will continue to work on banning other common rodeo practices, such as tie-down calf roping, the use of flank straps to elicit bucking behavior, and spurs in horse bucking events, all of which routinely cause serious injury and even death. In May, In Defense of Animals erected a billboard against cruel rodeo practices on Highway 580 for the duration of the Castro Valley's Rowell Ranch Rodeo, and jointly with the Coalition for a More Humane Alameda County, proposed an ordinance that would eliminate the use of spurs, bucking straps, and calf roping. IDA President Marilyn Kroplick said that the tide is turning against exploitation and abuse of animals for entertainment. The mistreatment of sheep, calves, and horses in rodeos is every bit as harmful and significant as the cruelty inflicted on orcas at SeaWorld and elephants in circuses. Yes, we're seeing the expanding circle of compassion. Our final news piece is an essay by professor and researcher Gordon Hodson, Ph.D. of Brock University. He specializes in the study of stereotyping, prejudice, and discrimination. This was a blog post from the Psychology Today website, and it starts out like this. A woman in London, Ontario, in Canada, has bumper stickers on her car that indicate her vegan choices. These bumper stickers include expressions such as, "If you love animals, don't eat them," "Be kind, be vegan," and "Friends, not food." One sticker shows a picture of a dog and a cow asking the question, "Why love one but eat the other?" As a result of these bumper stickers, she has been yelled at, aggressively run off the road and had meat and other objects thrown at her car. She is worried not only for herself, but for her children. Regardless of your own diet and choices, we can likely all agree that this is a sad state of affairs. In my research lab, and this is speaking of Professor Hodson, we've been studying prejudice and discrimination against vegetarians and vegans. Some of this research was recently profiled in the Guardian newspaper in a piece entitled, Why Do People Hate Vegans? But here are some of the highlights of that published research that article was based on. That is a very good article from The Guardian. I'll go ahead and post a link to this in the show notes. It was too long, really, to share here, but it's really a good in-depth look at attitudes towards vegans and vegetarians. So these are highlights of some of Professor Hodson's and his colleagues' research, sociology, psychology-type research. Number one, prejudice against vegans and vegetarians is real and it is strong. The prejudice that meat eaters feel toward vegans and vegetarians is at least as negative as that expressed towards immigrants and is even more negative than racism expressed toward black people. And this was found doing a survey, right? So this is real data published in a peer-reviewed psychology journal. Second finding, prejudice toward vegans is more severe than prejudice against vegetarians, with vegan men being the most despised. Such findings highlight the importance of deviance and group norm violation in predicting prejudice towards outgroups. Meat eaters are particularly negative towards vegans and vegetarians who avoid eating meat for reasons of animal welfare, compared to those who do so for health or environmental reasons. This suggests that anti-vegan and anti-vegetarian prejudices are motivated and defensive as opposed to simply being a matter of disliking someone from another group or someone who makes a different diet choice than oneself. That is, the reason why someone doesn't eat meat is a really important factor in determining the degree of bias expressed against them. So that is would be like, if you don't eat bread because you are gluten intolerant or gluten sensitive, nobody will hate you for that. You don't meet the norm, but nobody hates you for that. But their research has shown if you say you don't eat animals because you care about their welfare, you are going to be, by and large, that type of person is more closely treated negatively, considered negatively, than someone say who has a different diet for health reasons. The next finding: meat eaters and those on the political right feel that vegans and vegetarians are a threat to society and culture. Because of this, vegans and vegetarians are targeted not for doing something, but rather for refusing to do something, that is, eat meat. People who are threatened by vegans and vegetarians come to feel over time that food animals and wild animals are less deserving of moral concern and protection. Conservatives, as opposed to liberals, are more likely to return to eating meat after trying to abstain from meat consumption. This is due, in part, to a perceived lack of social support and presumably reflects concerns about being stigmatized as a deviant. This is as much sociology as it is psychology. People who are more pro-beef, as opposed to some other animal, are even more prejudiced against vegetarians, a finding that holds up cross-culturally. In fact, the amount of beef that one eats predicts the degree of one's anti-vegetarian sentiment. This suggests that some of the anti-vegetarian sentiment is motivated and defensive and not simply a dislike for someone from another group who's different. Again, similar to the previous finding. Reminders that meat originates from animals reduces anti-vegan and anti-vegetarian prejudice because it boosts empathy for the food animal. Those reminders lower vegan threat perceptions. However, they also increase disgust over eating meat, which increases perceptions that vegans and vegetarians are threatening. That is to say, reminding people that meat comes from animals stirs a whole host of thoughts and emotions, some of which decrease, but others that increase biases against vegans and vegetarians. The experiences reported by the woman in Canada, and this is back to the essay, these are no longer findings. The experiences reported by the woman in Canada are worrying, with real-life consequences for her and her family, but also for people in society more generally. if you find yourself feeling negative emotions when you see pro-animal bumper stickers, whether those feelings be anger, guilt, or confusion, it might be worth pulling over to the side of the road to think a little more deeply about your feelings and their implications. Things to ask yourself: why does someone else refusing to eat animals cause you so much personal distress? What is this telling you about yourself and your place in the world? Perhaps you are experiencing inner conflict. On the one hand, you probably love animals and believe that you are a good person. But on the other hand, you might be involved in decisions and practices that violate your own personal standards about not harming others. Lashing out at other people will do little to reconcile or solve such inner conflicts, and in fact may allow them to magnify. So please stop picking on your friends and family who are trying to reduce the amount of animals that they eat or who actually are already vegan. You're picking on them is unfair. You really need to look inside yourself and say, why are you picking on them? Why are you constantly teasing them, even in a joking manner? What does that represent about yourself? We could all benefit from careful and thoughtful discussion with others about the world in which we want to live and how we want our grandchildren to judge us as they look back on this period in history. And that was a piece called Prejudice and Violence Against Vegetarians and Vegans. It was based on research conducted by Professor Hodson from Brock University. That's a very good piece. This particular researcher, Professor Hodson, he's actually looked at a number of other prejudice issues. Some of his other essays that he's published are Women Perched Atop the Glass Cliff in Politics. So that's looking at women, biases against women holding political office or running for political office. Another piece he did was about white men holding privilege at universities. And what happens when racism and sexism go mainstream? That is looking at the rising numbers in hate crimes and sexual assaults and looking that, at that as perhaps a change in cultural norms that we have in this country. All right, you've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino. And now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Get ready to mark your calendars. I have a little bit of news before we get to the calendar items, so you have some time to go around and get your pencil. I wanted to share some tips from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. With winter around the corner and temperatures dropping, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife urges you to winterize your home and other buildings to prevent wildlife from taking up residence. This time of year, wild animals are busy preparing for the colder months to come. Bears are looking for dens to hibernate in, and smaller animals such as raccoons and possums are seeking warm and dry places to nest, such as attics, under your deck, under your porch, in your chimney, and maybe in your drain pipes. In bear country, crawl spaces under your homes make great bear dens, but bears can damage the insulation under there, wiring and pipes, and therefore posing a hazard to both themselves and to the human residents. And heaven forbid, female bears often give birth to cubs while denning, and a family, a group of three or four bears under that house would be difficult to evict, and you'd want to do whatever you can to prevent that from happening. Here are a few of the tips from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Number one, inspect the entire foundation of your home and other buildings for any openings and close those up. Secure all crawl spaces, doors, and openings that provide access for wildlife. Clean the floors and counters and cabinets of your cabin, if you have one, with ammonia-based products before closing it up for the winter. Remove all food, even canned goods and spices. Secure all your pet doors at night and, of course, close them for the winter if it's in a cabin. Remove trellises, vines, and shrubs and tree limbs that may give wildlife access to the roof and attic of your home. And repair those shingles and repair holes near eaves in particular. And finally, cover your chimney with heavy mesh to prevent access into the house or birds nesting in your chimney. And those are tips from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Now's the time to do it. The weather's still nice, and you can get around your house without getting your feet wet. And in other news, as of today, rumor has it, the Winco in Chico, it will allow you to bring in your own containers for bulk food purchase. All you have to do is bring your very clean containers to customer service before shopping to have them weighed. This is a very new program. I just learned about it today, so patients is advised with the WinCo staff as they learn to adopt the new store policy. And finally, check out today's Chico Enterprise Record for another great article by Natalie Hansen on being vegan in the North State. Today's article is about the misguided assumption that meat equals manliness and is a good companion article to read after the prejudice research against vegans and vegetarians that I mentioned earlier. All right, now we're going to get to the calendar. On November 14th, Near and Dear Vegan Baked Goods will be holding a pop-up event on Thursday, November 14th. That's next Thursday, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Naked Lounge. The vegan pop-up will feature soups made from local produce and a side of focaccia. For more information, go to the Naked Lounge website at nakedloungechico.com. And save the date for the holiday pop-up for Compassion, a benefit night for Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary, which will be happening on December 14th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Breathe Yoga Studio, located at 830 Broadway in Chico. The event offers you a chance to shop, eat, sip champagne, and be pampered while supporting rescued farm animals. For more information and updates, follow the Facebook event on the Non-Human Radio calendar, or find them at Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary, or call Breathe Yoga at 530-570-2862. And that is it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, go ahead and send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And if you have experienced harassment or words taunting because of a vegan or pro-animal bumper sticker that you might have on your car, send me an email. I want to hear about these events that are happening in our town. I know that they've happened because they've happened to me, and I assume that they've happened to others. As always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. Today's quote is from Jonathan Safran Foer. His new book, We Are the Weather, Saving the Planet, Begins at Breakfast, in which he wrote, "You are entirely capable of doing things you aren't moved to do and refraining from things you want to do. That doesn't make you Gandhi. It makes you an adult." Show notes and links to the articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on Instagram at Chico Vegan. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the host and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, and otherwise abused. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Please stay tuned for The Real Issue with guest host Stephen Chudy coming up next. Have a great week, and thank you for listening. This is Jeannie Trezino signing off. Remember, be different, be better, be kind, and go vegan.